Earlier this year, DraftKings celebrated golf's first two majors by crowning the first ever fantasy golf millionaires. And with the third major starting next week, DraftKings is picking up right where they left off by doling out $3 million in prizes and crowning fantasy golf's next millionaire. Any questions?
Actually, I got some questions.
Shoot, buddy.
Do you only win money on the major tournaments with DraftKings?
Great question. DraftKings.com is a one-week fantasy golf site where you can win huge prizes every tournament.
Wow, every tournament. That's amazing. Now, my buddy plays with DraftKings, but he loves golf. I don't really like golf. I like Uno. Will I have fun?
First of all, you're a grown man who loves Uno, and I love that about you. Whether you live and breathe golf or you just love the thrill of fantasy sports, DraftKings lets you experience the game in a whole new way by playing to win $1 million.
Wow, how does it work?
Just pick six golfers, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. This is the biggest one-week fantasy golf contest ever.
Sounds amazing. When does it start?
The event begins with the tournament, all right? So choose your players before next Wednesday night, and there could be a giant check with your name on it Sunday afternoon. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code ALN to play for free for a shot to become a fucking millionaire. Enter ALN now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Can't wait to play. Just need the name of the website.
Are you serious, man?
Of course not. DraftKings.com.
There you go. Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast. Happy
4th of July.
6th
Delated.
6th of July.
6th of July.
Oh,
woo.
God. The forgotten holiday.
I mean, we all know about our 6th of July traditions.
Yes.
Of going and gathering around the fire and sharing stories about how much Fraggle Rock has changed your life.
Yeah. I remember it was 1989. I was sitting home alone because my mom was working four jobs and my dad was, oh god,
this is getting depressing.
And my dad was still not living with us.
Oh jeez.
But I remember seeing one, Mowgli. No, Mowgli. Mowgli was Jungle Book. Wow, there's a show. Mowgli or Mowgli? Is it Jungle Book or Fraggle Rock?
I mean, I think we could start that game show.
It's Mowgli, right?
Mowgli's Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
Mowgli is
Jungle Book.
Jungle Book, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we got the important information.
You know, well, that's what I did on the 6th of July. I would talk about the vast differences between Jungle Book and Fraggle Rock.
Absolutely.
It was a great holiday. Brad and I spent it both in Orange County.
Yeah.
I was at Disneyland with some friends, and you were down with your sis doing the beach thing.
Yeah, on Huntington Beach, and we saw some mortars go off and lit some mortars and had a couple of close calls.
Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah. Everybody does, and you don't think about that.
Because you're drunk.
Did you hear about the guy, by the way, who tried to light a firework on top of his head and died instantly?
Why would you do that?
I mean, I'm not...
Whiskey?
I feel like I'm a very sensitive dude.
Yeah.
I have no sympathy for that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, cool. Now there's one less person in line at the Fluff and Fold to fucking hold up day.
Is that a happy ending massage parlor?
That's where I take my dry cleaning. How dare you?
Oh, okay.
And maybe they jerk me off because I'm a loyal customer.
Oh, God.
No, that guy put a firework on top of his head and died instantly.
Oh,
which I can only imagine the impact of... And even a Piccolo Pete, as you know, I don't know, harmless as they may seem and sound.
You just wouldn't do that. I mean, and this is not saying all firework accidents, because our thing was that we were lighting off mortars, and then one of the mortars tipped over right before it launched.
Oh, God.
So everyone's just like, oh, God. Get down!
Oh, God.
It's like everyone just jumps out
of
the way.
That's so terrifying when the firework, like, falls, or, like, when it doesn't go, and then there's one asshole that's like, well, we just gotta light it again.
Yeah. You're like,
and that's when Gary lost his hand.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not making fun of all those people. Just, if you light a firework on top of your head, you're putting...
That's Darwinism and it's finest.
Yeah, you're putting a keg of gunpowder on top of your head. You're like, well, what could happen?
I don't know, it blows up. You know, it'll go up into the sky and everybody will go, what a great joke.
Yeah.
You know Ted put it on top of his head?
Yeah.
What a great idea. I was thinking, put it in the firework holder, put it on the ground, somewhere safe. No, Ted thought, you know what nobody does? Put fireworks on the head.
If you died because you put a pinwheel on top of your head and it somehow choked you, God, that's a tragedy.
Yeah, that's tragic.
That's horrible.
Yeah, if you jumped into a kiddie pool where there just happened to be great whites, a kiddie pool. Like, I'm talking about those public swimming kiddie pools.
That sounds like the best Bond villain ever.
What?
Jump into my kiddie pool. It's full of great white sharks.
And the day prior to the 4th, Brad and I were at the Irvine Improv.
Brad let me come down, be on the shows for his headlining. First time headlining the Irvine Improv.
The new Irvine Improv, which and, is remodeled.
Remodeled.
It was about 325 seats. Now it's over 600 seats.
It's crazy. And I had never seen it full. I just heard about it, the rumors from one Joe Rogan, Joe Coy, Gabriel Iglesias type weekends.
Yeah.
And when I'd been there for Comedy Juice shows, still great.
Mm-hmm.
Still a quarter or half full and still great because
it's a great room.
It's a great room. Mm-hmm. But I walk in at 7:22, first show's at 7:30. It was two shows on a Friday. They were like, hey, Brad, we're going to test you out. We're going to see if Brad Williams can fill the Irvine Improv on 4th of July weekend, holiday weekend, which is not a bad weekend for comedy, but it's also a big holiday time where there's
people are outside.
Comedy's
people
not at the top of the list.
Exactly. It's
So I walk in.
Top list is putting fireworks on your head and trying to make it out alive.
Jesus, man. Can we go 2 minutes without a fucking head explosion callback?
I mean, okay. I'll try. Time me.
So I walk in at 7:22 and the room is just packed to the back. 600 packed. And
it
I was like, what? And then they go, second show sold out too.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. You're about to clap for yourself, and you know what? Go ahead.
I will. I will clap for myself.
Clap for America for coming out to support
USA.
You. Yeah, that was incredible.
I mean, it was unreal. I certainly was not expecting that.
And to all the ALN listeners that came out, holy shit, man. So many of you.
So many.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. We love seeing you
so
guys.
So many podcast listeners coming up and talking to us after, and that was the shit, because it's always great to meet you guys in person. So many fans of your special. When you announced in the second show, I'd say 570 people wooed.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm like, oh, wait, you watched that?
Yeah.
It was on Showtime, but okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget it's Irvine, so yeah, they could afford Showtime.
You also forget, and this is, you know, a humility thing and also just a delusional thing because, again, when we don't see the actual face-to-face feedback, you forget that, it's out there. Like, you forget, hey, man, your special's on TV. It's out there for people to see.
Right.
And just because
it's
you're not
playing all the time.
Yeah, just because you're not getting, like, comments every day about it, even though I'm sure you pretty consistently you are because it's still fresh.
It's great.
You don't know that, like, there's that type of an impact. So that was dope.
It was really cool. So if you were in the Irvine Improv that night, thank you guys for coming out. It was a lot of fun. And onward and upward, more to come. But how about our guest today?
Well, our guest today, this is a great way to ring in America's birthday post 4th of July. Because post 4th of July, it's not the new year, but it feels New Year-esque to where you're like, we need to like follow up that weekend with like a strong, a bang, no pun intended, fireworks style.
Right.
You know, we need our own fireworks. and today is maybe the best type of firework you could get because it sings. It's hilarious. It drinks.
It does drink.
And
it falls for pranks. You'll hear about that later.
And it set a record. Our guest today, Brent Morin. You know him. You love him. This is his fifth time. Record setting. Fifth time on the About Last Night podcast. Brent just always crushes it. You know, we hear from you guys on Twitter and everywhere about how much you love when Brent's here. And it's, you know, so it's great, but obviously he's getting busier and busier, so it's tough to lock in. It's not just like, hey, Brent, can you Uber down before our show and let's talk? No, man, because now he's on a hit NBC sitcom that's coming back for season 3.
Undateable.
Undateable, all live episodes, which we get into.
Mm-hmm.
We get into a lot of stuff. The prank that we pull on Brent at the end of the episode is maybe
pretty damn good.
Is maybe the greatest prank of all time? Is that fair? Of any?
Well,
I mean, it's
all I know is that now
it's real as fuck. Let's just say that.
And whenever I see Brent, I'm never gonna exactly look at him the same way again.
Nope.
And I certainly don't think he's gonna look at me the same
way again. No.
So enjoy that.
A lot of laughs on this one. We don't want to waste any more time. You're gonna love it. You always do. Brent Morin. Follow him on Twitter at Brent Morin. Of course, you know, tune into Undateable NBC next fall. I think October is when they're starting back up.
All live episodes.
All live episodes.
For an entire season. It's going to be pretty damn historic.
Yeah. And go, of course, see Brent live. He's filming his hour Netflix special August 14th in New York City at the Gramercy Theater. And you can see him live all around the country. I think Brent Moore. Oh, it's Brent Moore.
.in.
Yeah.
That's his actual website. BrentMoore.in.
Yeah.
It's not BrentMoore.com. BrentMoore.in.
Some asshole took his website. Might have been the guy who blew his head off.
I hope so. That's what you get.
That's what you get. of course, follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. This weekend, I am coming home to the Bellevue Parlor Live Comedy Club. Bellevue, Washington, Parlor Live, July 9th through the 11th. Get your tickets at ParlorLive.com. Come out and see me. Got a bunch of new material. It's always fun, hometown shows. Get your tickets, parlorlive.com. And then, of course, Gotham Comedy Club, July 31st, 8 o'clock. No, July 30th. I'm sorry. July 30th, Gotham Comedy Club. I'm doing a one-nighter, headlining 8 o'clock, New York City. Get your tickets at GothamComedyClub.com. All the dates at AdamRayTV.com. Brad, you're on the road. Where at?
Well, Madison, Wisconsin, college town, home of Frank the Tank. Well, previously, home of Frank the Tank. July 9th through the 11th, Madison, Wisconsin. I will be there at the Comedy Club on State Street. Get your tickets fast. These shows always sell out. Comedy Club on State is one of the best clubs in the country. So come on out for that. Toledo, Ohio. Holy Toledo! I don't deserve to be a comedian after that. July 16th through the 19th, I'll be at the Funny Bone in Toledo, Ohio. July 16th through the 19th. And then, bonjour, Canada. I'm coming to Montreal, Canada, July 24th to the 28th for the Just for Laughs Montreal Comedy Festival. I'll be doing shows with Neil Patrick Harris at the NPH Gala and also a few other shows during the festival. So by all means, check those out. And how about one more? Ventura, California. Ventura Harbor Comedy Club, July 31st. Through August 2nd. Those are my dates. All dates can be found at BradWilliamsComedy.com. Is that just about it?
I think that's about it. And of course, keep buying those shirts, keep buying those mugs at AstoyMerchandise.com. You guys, we've heard a few complaints about some of the immediacy of the orders coming out. We squared that all away. There was a hiccup at the shop, and we're all squared away, so don't let that slow you down buying your merchandise,
yes,
your shirts.
We're sorry that the Oompa Loompas went on strike. We paid them. They're good now, okay? They're good. You will be getting your shirts in a timely fashion.
In a timely fashion. And of course, go over to
AboutLastNightPodcast.com.
There it is.
When you're doing your shopping, and click on the Amazon banner, and then go over to Amazon Shop. Normally, you pay absolutely nothing extra, but Amazon gives us a nice little kickback, which allows us to buy more candles.
And you think that you can have enough?
You can't. You can never have enough candles.
Hey, Brad, how many Skittles candles did I buy last week?
Three. Three Skittles candles. One for every
Shouldn't
inch of this
you be
damn
buying
house.
The Skittles candles?
One would assume. Maybe I'm sending what? You kind of like instead of like a drug runner.
Oh, my God.
I'm sending you as like a Skittle runner.
Am I, like, the things, like, by the way, you just gave me an idea. Remember that movie, I think it was with Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron, where they switched?
Jeez.
What if we did that?
Reference.
Where you became the Jew and I became the dwarf.
Ooh. I like it.
Or I guess it's just Freaky Friday is what I'm saying.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, well, we got to go write that one now, but thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, and keep subscribing on iTunes. Keep rating on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Takes 2 seconds. While you're listening right now, before the episode starts, go to iTunes right now, give a 5-star rating, comment on the iTunes page, comment, leave something awesome. It can be short, it can be sweet, it can be hilarious, it can be racist. Just comment on the iTunes page.
Maybe not racist.
Maybe not racist, and give us a 5-star rating. And now that we got all the tour date info out of the way, those are the Twitter handles, that's all the merch info, and now sit back, relax, and enjoy a very hilarious episode of the About Last Night podcast with our guest, fifth time on the podcast, killing it again. Get ready to laugh.
With Mr. Brent Morin.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg.
Oh,
race cars, lasers, airplanes. It's a duck blur.
Getting happy yet?
You might solve a mystery.
Woo, woo, woo.
Or rewrite history.
Oh!
Duck tails, woo! Yeah. Not ponytails or cats and tails, it's duck tails,
woo!
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Brad Williams, where did you find the song that I will for sure make all of my kids do? If you think it's anything but this, future wife of Adam Ray, you're sorely mistaken. You married the wrong man.
Barry White has nothing on this.
Here we go. Oh my God, dude.
DuckTales.
Yeah. Oh, wait, stop right there. Not Holy Tales.
Yeah.
Dude, that, not Holy Tales.
Oh, yeah. Getting soulful with it.
Dude, that's, all right. We're sitting here waiting for our buddy Brent Morin to show up, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't be more pumped. I think he's about to set the record for appearances on the ALN podcast.
I believe so.
But Brad, as we do when we're waiting for the guest, we shoot the shit. We catch up on each other's lives. It's another perk of this pod. Extra hangout time.
Right.
And Brad just goes.
I told you that I did the Josh Wolf show today, which airs on CMT. By the time this podcast comes out, it'll probably be after the air date. It was July 4th. Okay, hope you watched.
Hope you watch, and hope you watch in, because Josh Wolf is hilarious and a great dude.
And he has a lot of great comics on the show.
Yeah, he's doing another great thing for comics, like Chelsea did for him and the rest of the gang.
Exactly. And the musical guest on this show that I was on was this band called Postmodern Jukebox. And they did a cover of Creep that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I started talking to them afterward, and they said, you know, we do a cover of the DuckTales theme song.
Now, did they look at you and just think, okay, this guy for sure
we
dressed up like Huey,
like
Dewey, or Louie for Halloween at some point?
Actually, that was, we were telling a story about, like, I was telling a story, like, someone had a red shirt, a green shirt, or whatever. And we said, like, oh, we're like Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And then when the bass player was like, you know, we do a cover of the DuckTales theme song.
Holy shit.
And then
pulled it up and you just lost your mind.
I lost my damn mind.
It's unbelievable, because here's the thing. Covers aren't just great because they're covers. It's the different spin that you've put on it. You know,
it's making it your own.
Yeah.
You know, it's because...
Being different, like being so different and far from the original.
Sure. If you have a song that's just like the original, it's like, well, we have the original for that.
Do I want to hear, you know, the Mighty Mighty Bosstones cover Sellout by Real Big Fish? No, because that's pretty close.
That's similar.
To your sound.
Yeah.
Do I want to hear the Mighty Mighty Bosstones cover the Nickelodeon Guts theme song?
Hell yes.
Yes, please.
I mean, Dickie works for, the lead singer Dickie works for Jimmy Kimmel. We could probably make that happen.
Wow. I mean, I want the Mighty Mighty Bosstones to cover every 90s cartoon. Can you imagine doing them gummy bears?
Oh, my God. Fraggle Rock?
Why hasn't some group just decided to throw caution to the wind, buy the rights? Because you just have to know going in that the payback is going to be huge.
Yeah.
So pay the $50 million to get the Chippendale Rescue Ranger theme song rights. Wow. Look at me just putting a lot of respect.
$50 million? Wow. I mean, I'm pretty sure you could get it for $9.95 and a thing of Tic Tacs.
I'm like, I just said that the opening weekend of Jurassic World is comparable to the rights of Chippendales.
In our hearts, it is, my friend.
Oh, that's why I love you, Brad.
It is. I exchange information with the members of the band. So I'm going to try to get them. We're going to try to get them
on the podcast.
Yes.
And maybe just do an all live. And we'll go to them and just have
them.
It'll just be like an unplugged. Remember how MTV used to do unplugged shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the best when Nirvana's unplugged. So we can do Postmodern Jukebox unplugged, do that DuckTales theme song.
Wow. Can't wait for that. See, what a great look. Good for you being a personable dude, Brad, and meeting.
Yeah,
some people
get into show business for cocaine and whores. And
wow, is this your PSA for now, by the way, are you Gary Busey's son?
Some people come into this business for cocaine and whores.
Nice.
If that's you, that's great. I don't judge. But I get in here so I can. I got into show business so I could see soulful jazz bands cover theme songs of my favorite childhood cartoons.
You know what you haven't done in a while, speaking of cartoons?
What's
your
that?
Yosemite Sam.
My Yosemite Sam impression.
You did something the other day when we were hanging out where you made the face of Yosemite, and I go, oh, man, I miss that guy. It was like I just saw like the hints of Yosemite.
Hints of Yosemite would be a great candle. You should get that one. You get the hints of Yosemite, you Yankee Candle Company.
I mean, that is a brilliant marketing move for the tunes of looniness, which is the documentary that's made about fucking Wile E. Coyote finally killing himself. The tunes of looniness.
The tunes of looniness, and it's got the president of the Acme company going, hey, when we were sending rockets and giant slingshots to the same address every week.
We knew this was coming.
We should have seen the signs.
It just got, wait, it cuts. There's a little tag below that says Acme president, and he goes, I mean, I can't say I was shocked. That's the only soundbite he gets. That's a fucking great sketch. And then it shows the amount of rockets that were like sent to his place. I mean, the guy, you or I, you know, we go bungee jumping for a thrill. This guy did it without the cord.
Right.
Our guest today, Brent Morin, who will be here momentarily, why we wanted to start a bit early was A, because I couldn't wait any longer when Brad pulled up the...
Oh, she broke it down.
This is when I turn up the sexiness, by the way, when I'm making my baby.
I wish you could see her because she's doing the full Christina Aguilera. The hands are going up and down.
By the way, my favorite part so far is when she goes, not ponytails, ponytails. Goose. Duck. Wait, duck. What? Duck. Goose. They segue duck, into duck, an... Duck, 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 duck. You get a goose. Whoa! Duck, 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 duckity, duck, 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 goose.
I mean...
Wow, any song that segues into an impromptu Duck Duck Dukes challenge,
done. Winner.
We're going to have to play this when Brent shows up because he'll do, you know, he'll do some sweet, sweet melodic. All right, that's good. I mean, holy shit, man. All right, give me the name of the group one more time.
Postmodern Jukebox.
There it is. Look them up.
They have, oh, wait.
Familiarize yourself.
Okay. On the suggestions, there's the Animaniacs theme.
Wait till Brent shows up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll wait for that.
You think I'm trying to come before this podcast even begins? How dare you?
Brent just walks in. You're shirtless on the floor with tissues all around.
Hey, man.
Sprawled out, legs
akimbo.
Don't you
tell me how to live my life.
He's like, Adam, what happened? Postmodern Jukebox. Soulful covers.
Yeah.
90s cartoons.
That's how the music video ends.
I also see a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cover. I see a Darkwing Duck cover.
Wait, Ninja Turtle. Okay, that's the one you got to play when Brent shows up.
Okay.
Here's the other reason why I wanted to start this a bit early. First of all, thank you for your continued feedback on the birthday episode. I thought about boozing it up tonight just because I feel like our listeners, who we could not love more, your tweets lately have been just incredible.
Yeah.
In the comments page, Brad and I have been going to the iTunes page to read your guys' feedback, and thank you again for the 5-star ratings.
Yes.
Do it right now where you're listening to the beginning of the podcast before Brent shows up. Take 5 seconds, go do that. But your comments are unbelievable, man. And we don't take enough time to really sit down and read that stuff. And it really struck a chord, being like, wow, we love doing this, and we know that we're getting pretty good at putting out fun shows, but when you can hear it directly, or some of these people that we both ran into at our shows this past weekend, getting face-to-face affirmations.
It's always cool when we meet you guys, because we're just talking into a microphone in front of three scented candles.
Yeah, by the way, did I buy 5 more Skittles candles today at Rite Aid? Maybe. A little shout-out to Rite Aid. Like you to be a sponsor of the podcast. All you got... Wouldn't be prudent. Definitely speaking with the same type of Dana Carvey Bushisms. Get it?
So when you go to the checkout counter with 5 Skittles candles,
2 things of toothpaste,
yeah,
a new shower scrubber,
yeah,
and
So, and, like, does, I mean, do they check you out? Does the woman give you a look of like, well, looks like someone's going to have a hell of a night?
It was a tiny Korean woman, and yes, she did. She was like, what flavor?
What flavor?
Wow. Wow.
This has been Adam Gets Racist on the About Last
Night
podcast.
How dare you? No, but I had so much fun on that birthday pod, and you were the perfect straight man for that, Brad.
I mean, pretty good straight man.
You stayed sober, and I didn't realize how fucked up I was until I listened back to it.
I had to guide you. I had to point you in the right direction.
When I really realized I was not sober,
yeah,
is at the roast battle afterwards, because I would start speaking. And also, fuck you, though, Brad, because 5 seconds into any time I tried to give feedback on the roast battle, which is run by our boy Brian Moses at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room, go see it every Tuesday night, midnight, I started giving feedback, and as soon as I start talking, you go, okay, Adam. And you would like you would do that sober, straight man, drunk, not drunk guy thing where you would just pull the rug out from under me before I even stood on the rug.
Well, I mean, when the roast battle just happens and two comics just write really great jokes and they're going back and forth and they go, Judge Adam Ray, what do you think? And you start your critique off with, first of all, as the great Brian McKnight said. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well,
we got to holster them.
You know what? That seemed like the perfect beginning to every roast battle.
When you're singing to the guys like, one, you're like a dream come true. I mean, you just kind of got to.
Yeah, I know. I wore my heart on my sleeve that night.
It was entertaining. I'm glad the listeners enjoyed the podcast. We're still getting tweets about it.
Still getting tweets about it. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to be sober for the rest of this podcast. But I am tonight for Brent to show up because I have to be. I need my wits about me because Brad texted me a picture earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And and guess what, ladies? It's as big as you think. No. It's he texted me a picture of a dwarf woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them before. I know what they look like. I know what they smell like. I know how great those asses are.
Magical.
Okay. But upon further inspection on this in particular JPEG, I know that face. And it's not because I've been with this dwarf.
Well,
wait, I have, but not in the way that you would think because of her gender. It was Brad Williams as a dwarf woman.
Bum, bum, bum. Fooled you.
And
for a second.
And he goes, and I believe the text was, would you bang this dwarf? And I'm like, all right, where's Chris Hansen? And am I being set up? How old is this dwarf?
And the answer is, yes, you were. I did a sketch on the Mind of Mencia show about 7 years ago where I played a, I believe the part was in the script, Chola. And so I was wearing full Chola makeup. By the time this podcast airs, this picture will be posted on my Instagram.
Yeah.
You can go back and check it. And
I don't know. I don't know why I haven't posted it yet. If I started an Instagram
because Brent follows me. And so, someone just sent it to me today. I totally forgot about the picture. Brent follows me.
Which is what's great about this business. Like, you do things, you forget, they become memories of the past. And now with social media, guess what? That memory becomes
someone reminds me, like, hey, I saw that Caitlyn Jenner cover. You're next. I'm going. Touche.
So I see this and I go, all right, we need to somehow pull a prank on Brent.
Yeah.
And Brad decided that he's going to basically show it to him and say, we'll set it up. Let's first get Brent's take on dwarf, on having sex with a dwarf.
Yeah.
He's getting to that extra special fame space.
That's going
to
be an option for him very soon.
Yeah, where a lot of other options that weren't options before are now options. Can I say options more? But you know, or maybe we'll find out that he's already been doing it. Who knows?
Wow.
It's not something you discuss, is it?
No, I mean, you don't wear it on your sleeve.
The first rule of dwarf fucking club is you don't talk about the dwarves you fuck.
I mean, unless it's me. But
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and then you talk.
Yeah, you don't wear a shirt that just says dwarf banger. You know what I mean?
Well, not with that attitude.
Well, I mean, I might
banger.
Have to start printing those.
Oh my God.
I think that's the name of Miley Cyrus's next tour.
Dwarf Banger. It also sounds like one of the first Nintendo games you bought when you got the trackpad and Duck Hunt.
What was that?
Wait. Maybe
what was
the trackpad and the gun was for Duck Hunt and the track and field game. But coincidentally, you needed both for Dwarf Banger.
You absolutely
because
did.
Because it was like the Rambo of dwarf hitmen.
You
ran on the trackpad and used the Duck Hunt gun to slay dwarves.
Absolutely.
Dwarf Slayer. And dwarf that's Slayer. The second game. It's like Contra 1 and Contra 2.
I mean, that's what I nicknamed my cock. the Dwarf Slayer.
Dude.
I'm pretty sure there was a Dwarf Killer banger. Do you remember... Do you remember TurboGrafx-16?
I do.
The character Bonk?
Yes.
Bonk must have been a dwarf.
Good God.
Google image Bonk right now.
Yikes, Google and Bonk.
Google
I'll
Bonk.
I'll take sentences I've never heard my buddy say for 1,000, Alex. Actually, you know what? For 500. Googling Bonk.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a dwarf. He's got a big old head.
Bonk, the curious coupling of science and sex, Mary Roach?
No. Wait, what? No.
Bonk, what was the name again? Turbo?
TurboGrafx-16.
Here it is. TurboGrafx. Wow, dude. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, it looks like, who was the baby in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh,
Mr. Fester? No. Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester.
That's Adam's family.
That's Adam's family. That guy.
That guy. The baby from Who Framed. Yeah.
Little Pickles. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like that baby.
Yeah.
So that was, that's who Dwarf Banger would be. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
But just like with a machete or a machine gun.
Well, I mean, Dwarf with a Machete. Robert Rodriguez, please make that movie.
By the Dwarf with a Machete, I think that's how I won my last game of Clue. The dwarf
in a machete
in the doggy door with a machete.
Watch your ankles. I'll take them out
this summer. Watch your ankles in Dwarf Machete.
Kapaka. The back of the tall, written son of a butt.
Oh, God. all right, so we're going to see if Brent, how he responds to this pick. We're going to see. Yeah. You're going to tell him, we don't know how we're going to get there, but we know that you're going to, oh, my God. Wait a minute.
What did you Google?
I didn't Google anything. I'm perusing through the Facebook timeline as I simultaneously set up this prank with Brent. Oh, my God. I'm not going to, all right. Oh, my God. All right.
What's happening?
I'm glad this is on record. Speaking of
dwarf bangers?
No, well, there's somebody just posted a picture of them as a woman on Facebook, okay?
Wait, what?
And it's not a woman.
Okay.
It's another one of our comic buddies.
Oh, shit.
Is this dressed like a fucking woman today?
I mean...
Is it already...
It's trending now.
Is it already Caitlyn Jenner day?
It's Caitlyn Jenner.
Did she get a day?
She should. Why not?
Do you really believe that?
Eh. Caitlyn Jenner day.
Hey, should we recognize the importance of you being happy and making your own choices for your life? Fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you get a day for it? I don't know.
Sure.
Was
that hosted by Mark Summers?
Did what you do?
That was like the
Welcome
pilot
back
episode.
Did what you do. They go, yeah. Mark, man, love the show, love the concept, love you, but we got to change his name,
yeah,
man.
Can we just call it What Would You Do instead? I like Did What Would You Do.
No, Did What You Do.
Yeah. It's a little better.
All right. Here we go. Ready?
What's that?
Brad, just respond.
Oh!
Upon first glance, who is that?
Is that Sam?
Sam? Sam who?
Is that Sam Richardson?
Okay. One of our black friends.
Yeah.
From Veep.
Is that Sam?
Former podcast friend and guest.
Is that Sam Richardson? No.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Who the fuck But another is black that? Comedian who just posted a picture of themselves... As a you know, an attractive black woman, very Jill Scott, very.
That's not Ron Funches, is it?
Tell him what he won.
Holy shit, that's Ron Funches.
Tell him what he won on Did What You Did.
Oh my God,
that's Ron Funches. And the face, Ron's making such a sassy.
Hopefully, a
face.
Date with Ron Funches.
And then it says, you know what his post was?
What's that?
Ms. Swipe Right.
God bless you, Ron Funches.
Oh boy,
We're gonna have to show that one to Brent too, because that's his co-star.
That's incredible.
Unindatable. So
the comments below. Somebody wrote smash. Somebody wrote whoa. Somebody said looking like Angie Stone all in there.
Okay.
Incredible. Wow.
All right. So.
All right. Well, Brent will be here shortly, and we will pick this back up. But man, God bless the DuckTales. God bless Brad dressing up as a woman. And God bless that I wasn't turned on by it.
Good job, penis.
Which is a one-act play I'm putting on 2 weeks from now. Get your tickets. Hey guys, Adam Ray from the About Last Night podcast here. Popping in real quick just to thank you guys one more time for subscribing to the show on iTunes, telling your friends, telling your family, keep spreading the good word, send your friends to aboutlastnightpodcast.com. We love the support. You guys are fucking unbelievable. We got the best pod fans in the world. Keep subscribing on iTunes and rate and comment on iTunes. Take 2 seconds right now, give it a 5-star rating, leave a little comment on the iTunes page. That helps us climb the charts and continues to help the pod grow and take over the world. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Let's get back to the show. Our fifth-time record-holding guest, Brent Morin, has just showed up. So get ready to laugh.
Feel it? Feel the little button?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did it.
There you go, buddy.
I can't tell you. Hey, cheers first.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah, Brent.
Drinking white wine.
We're cheers into a white wine. And you know why? Because Brent is setting the record for ALN podcast appearances right now.
Yeah.
Yay!
How's it feel, sir?
It's good. Oh, this wine is just different, huh?
Is it? Yeah. I got it from Napa. It's a Chardonnay.
Actually not bad, but it caught me off guard.
Hey, the guy gives you a glass of wine. He pours it in a nice fancy glass.
Nice.
Don't talk shit about his wine, Brent Morin.
I'm on television.
Yeah,
you're supposed
you
to
have,
be rude now.
Have people been sending you bottles of stuff yet?
No. I did have somebody hit me up for sunglasses.
Hey, man.
What a weird request.
Yeah. Or people just send pictures of my face they drew. That's it.
Yeah. I see you posting some of those as well. You should because
weird.
That's weird.
I don't get it.
But guess what? If that's as weird as it gets, hey, man.
That's all right.
Great.
Well, there are weirder people.
Yeah.
But I'd say, you know what I don't get, though? I'll have somebody draw me, drive 3 hours to a gig, and I'm still comping half the room. You know what I mean? like it's like, how does it work so well for you?
Yeah.
But then everybody else is like, who?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I don't get it.
Why didn't more people draw me and drive 3 hours?
Yeah. It's a really confusing thing, and you realize that like fame is really just if someone knows who you are, because there's people that freak out over you guys, and then there's some people like,
come on, Mr. Special.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Highest rated Showtime special
of 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's something to cheers about.
All right. Let's cheers that.
There we go.
And
Adam's out. Adam.
Yeah,
Adam
no, I'm shooting my special in 2019.
Oh, God. You're going to do yours too.
You know what's great? And Brent, you're getting ready to shoot yours August 14th, Gramercy Theater, New York City.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so dope.
You're coming.
I'm going to come. I'm going to be a part of it.
Yeah,
I'm going to open for you, right?
You're going to open, and he'll be part of the beginning and the end. So I got to talk to you about that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be in it.
Yeah, we got to figure
anybody
that
that's around that I know I want.
That's going to be...
So you're going to do like a sketch or something beforehand? Or just
I got this thing I want to shoot with that's... Yeah.
Does it involve you singing?
I think that's why Brent's like, we got to talk about it, because he's like, we got to figure it out.
Yeah. I just started trying to write it today, and I was like, this might be a little ambitious for our first special, but it's actually
dude.
Simple. It's simple.
Yeah,
but your first special is really your coming out party in terms of...
Especially for me, because nobody really knows me as a stand-up.
Yeah.
So it's important.
I'm super pumped because I feel lucky that I got to see both you guys do your hours before, you know, being on the road with Brad a few dates before he shot it, and then doing that show that was your hour during the New York Comedy Festival at UCB, and I had the same feelings for both of you, and this is why when Michael Rappaport was here a couple days ago, and he goes,
"The same feelings for both of you." This sounds like it's an episode of The Bachelor.
We're drinking wine now, boys.
In the most dramatic rose ceremony ever.
Can I be honest? If you want me to really compliment my male buddies, give me a glass of Chardonnay.
I mean, that's going on the t-shirt.
But you...
I'm gay.
You...
Hey, I don't know why I like saying that. I like saying that so much.
I know.
It's like...
Now, do gay people... Is it just as funny to them to just pause and go, nah, I'm straight? Do they laugh at that?
That's actually kind of funny. If I was gay, like gay...
Yeah. Well, what was the second...
Well, you know,
for?
Like, there's gay.
There's
like,
gay,
hey.
And then there's a power bottom.
Then it's like, whoa, you know?
And
well, he took it there. I'm not going power bottom. I bet that feels good, though.
What would you... Would you be the...
I'd be both. I wouldn't be selfish.
He's a very generous lover.
Why pick a side? Yeah.
I'm a generous lover with women. Hi. So why wouldn't I be with a man?
You look like you walked in. I know you walked over here from doing a
the
shoot.
The Chateau Marmont.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, Vinny
I
Chase?
Had a drink over there, too. It was nice.
It's definitely the place that...
It's too much.
A lot of celebs go to. If you haven't seen... the Chateau Marmont, and you've seen a lot of hoopla. And I don't use the word hoopla all that often, but when I describe fancy hotels, you ever say a word and you go, your mouth, you can taste that you haven't said it since 93.
Yeah, hoopla. I mean, that's...
93. I love that I gave a specific year when I was using hoopla.
I mean...
I was a really sophisticated nine-year-old. Right. I like this hoopla.
Wait, back in my hoopla. Yeah, like...
Mom, Adam, you're 5 years away from a bar mitzvah. It better not be one of those hoopla mitzvahs.
What? But you're absolutely right. I used the word kerfuffle the other day, and I was like, what the hell did I
just... Please tell me somebody bitch-slapped you. I kerfuffle?
Mean, yeah. Well,
why did you need to use kerfuffle?
Well, it was a bit of a kerfuffle what happened.
Is that what it
so
is?
So there was a murder.
Yeah, like, that's how the guy cleans
what?
It up.
Says you can't words. Use cute words when there's a murder. What?
And then the detectives get distracted from the vocab.
He called it a kerfuffle. Hey, Harry, come on in. Yeah. This guy just killed four people, but he called it a kerfuffle. It's adorable. We should let him go, right?
Yeah. Kerfuffle, by the way, is the leader of the dwarf kingdom.
Kerfuffle.
Bring me to kerfuffle.
He's got the rest of the cabbage patches locked up.
The cabbage patches.
Yeah. Another group that kerfuffle could lead. Yeah,
we're going through a drought. Let me speak to kerfuffle to save water. His plan is unreasonable.
All right. Not as funny as the first one.
I must speak to kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle.
Here's what I want to say, though.
Kerfuffle.
Your hour special is going to be great because you ripped that room so hard, dude. And we
it's
all see-
changed drastically. What if I just take so many risks? And you're like, Brent, why didn't you just
I go on this great, like, yeah. No, but it was, and I told you afterwards,
so
I was blown away, man. Yeah, dude, don't do that.
But why'd you change it?
I just opened.
Because
it works, but you know how it is. It's comics.
Well, also, that was in September.
Yeah, that was so long ago.
So I would hope that there's
it's been reformed, and I've been writing a lot, actually. I don't know why, because I've really been not treating myself well.
Well, because the show's been wrapped for
It's wrapped, and I've been on tour. Brentmore.in, if anybody wants.
What? Wait a second.
That's not your real website.
It is. Somebody bought my domain name years ago after I did Chelsea Lately for the first time.
Yeah.
And he wanted like $5,000 for it.
Right.
Out of principle. I was like, I'm not doing it. So then my web guy.
Oh, you should have done it.
My web
guy
was like.
Released on Brent Moore in comedy?
Brent
Moore in ha-ha?
I kind of liked Brentmore.in for a minute because like all the nerds in Silicon Valley are like, kick ass, dude. You know, like, and it made me feel in. I guess I just wanted to feel in. But I think
it's not tough to
I
follow.
Think somebody bought my name for me, a fan. That's another weird thing. I think, and she sent me a direct message saying she owns it now to give to me.
Wow.
But that's so strange. I don't, like, I hope she didn't pay $5,000. Why would she do that?
I don't know.
She's going to listen to this.
I don't
anyway.
Know.
Thank you.
I don't know. You got some silky pipes on you, buddy.
You not buying your own website domain? Giant Clooney Bloop.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I had it when I was 18. I had it.
Okay.
And my brother is a really good computer fuckhead. When you don't know things about a subject,
term?
You got to talk down about whatever that is. A fucking computer bitch.
I know how to fucking solve problems. Via the- wow.
I can write code. Yeah,
that's
asshole.
A great impression, though. A bully who can't bully, like, he can't do it. Like, oh, yeah, great.
Yeah. A lot of that face to fill the silence.
Good shoes, dude.
Can't get
thanks.
And the guys are like, get specific. Oh, I'd get specific if I felt like that you, because you probably just put on your fucking computer hat and then you, I think I just heard the recess bell. There was no bell. Bing, bing. Yeah, no, we got to get out of here.
Why don't you go play?
Yeah.
What? Okay. Yeah, it's recess.
That's a great suggestion.
Yeah. You should go on a slide. It's good this time of year. Why, are you helping me or hurting me?
The mayor of the playground.
Well, my mom will give you a ride home. Dude, you don't know how to bully.
I saw that your dad wasn't picking you up the last few weeks. My mom is a really sweet lady. She loved it. You actually live two houses down from us, and I know that because I watch you read your books at night because I don't have books.
Burn?
Yeah.
Want some pasta? Yeah, sure. I mean, who doesn't want pasta?
Wow.
Eat your pasta, dude.
And then the kid who's getting bullied calls the bully like, thanks, spaghetti kid. And the bully just loses it. Because the kid... And
he just wanted a friend.
Nobody calls
the whole time he just
kid.
Wanted a friend.
He just wanted a friend. That's all bullies want. We'll be right back. I'm Danny Glover. Ever go to the Rite Aid looking for some sweet, sweet jujube jelly beans and you realize I'm in a Rite Aid, not a jelly bean warehouse? Well, come on over to Danny Glover's Jelly Bean Shack. That's right. It's just basically my garage, but I got a whole bunch of jelly beans. $15 for a bag. And we're
jelly
back.
Jelly beans.
Oh, wait. Of course Danny Glover's got a jelly bean jingle. Jelly bean jingle playing this Friday at the Troubadour.
Jelly beans. Jelly beans.
That's the sound of my son choking on too many jelly beans. Don't be like him and choke on jelly beans.
Make sure you chew and swallow.
Hey, that's Danny Glover's friend he hasn't seen in a while who thought he'd chime in after two glasses of Pinot.
That's what happens, Danny Glover. I don't even talk like this. I'm actually from Nebraska.
Let's hear that jingle one more time.
Jelly beans. Jelly beans. Danny Glover.
Just his name at the end.
Just his name at the end.
I want that t-shirt. Danny Glover's Jelly Bean Factory. Somebody make that, please, and send it.
Send it. I mean, courtesy of the About Last Night podcast. Sure. Tag all of us.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Or someone figure out what that could be in Urban Dictionary.com. Just like, oh, man, did you hear?
I think that's a new Clooney Boop. We had hashtag Clooney Boop and Brad Pitt slips. Now we got the Danny Glover Jelly Bean Jingle.
Yeah, Jelly Bean Jingle.
Yeah.
You got to do that in jingles.
Yeah, and then
you never get it out right away.
Right.
For people at home, if they want to do it in public and have their friends at work not know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
it goes like this. Jelly beans, jelly beans. Danny Glover.
There it is at the end of it. So glad you weren't going to forget the name.
I know. For a second, I was like,
best part.
Fuck.
Tagging his own commercial.
Yeah. Danny Glover.
All right,
yeah,
so
that's the dream.
Why has it drastically changed so much?
You're constantly rewriting, and you're constantly like things start to form. You know how it is. Like when you do, you'll be like, "Wow, I'm ready this year."
Yep.
And then next year, you're like, "Man, I'm ready this year."
Right.
You know. So it's kind of like,
thank God I didn't have that special last year.
Yeah. It's like, and the fact that it's happened, that's the one everybody heard. That.
It might be a little. It's good. Hey, I know you just drank cold Chardonnay. That might be warm. Is that right?
I was wondering about this.
That was the sound of Brent Morin taking his dick out.
Wait, do it one more time. Wait.
No, you have to apologize if that's how your dick comes out. Like, yeah, you want that shit. I'm so sorry.
By the way, what films and sets has Brad worked on? What post-production houses was Brad the sound effect guy for? By the way, for 10 minutes before he goes, they go, all right. Then the guy takes his dick out. Brad goes, I got it. They go, hey, Brad, can I talk to you for a second?
He's like the most bizarre sound guy ever. What if we use a corkscrew? Like, what? Hear me out. But he wins every Academy Award. You're like, it's so inventive.
He's original. God, that's he's so a visionary.
Funny. Gunshots.
Gunshot.
It's like, wow, it's artistic.
Okay, now remember that scene in The Notebook where it's raining? Yeah, I gotcha. They go, what the fuck are you?
That's the new one, too. If anybody wants to edit The Notebook and do their own rain sounds, that's the next thing you do.
It's not over. It was never over. And the Academy Award goes to
Brad Williams.
And then for your speech, you just do the jelly bean jingle.
Jelly beans. Danny Glover.
You forgot the second jelly bean, man.
Jelly beans.
Oh, too late. All right, Brent, tell me more about yourself.
Jelly beans.
Oh, God, scared the shit out of. I think I just saw the future. What the fuck happened?
I'm pretty sure
like
a dwarf.
Sound, people don't know the sound cut the fuck out for a second and then came back in through my asshole into my head.
I'm pretty sure when a dwarf just yells out jelly beans, the space-time continuum is just ripped in half.
I told you.
Oh, my God. I'm 6'5 now. How did you do this?
I got so talent.
Wide. Is that Kevin Bacon? No, man, but now you can see him everywhere.
He's Kevin Bacon. Oh, I thought you were saying Kevin Bacon's 6'5. Oh. About to blow my mind. I was like, what if he was so tall?
Welcome back to Hollywood Secrets.
Did you know Kevin Bacon was 6'5 when he did Footloose?
Tomorrow on Hollywood Secrets. It's just the show's real quick. One fact and they move on.
Right.
All right, so
Brad Pitt's penis smiles.
Tomorrow.
But because of that, he can't really come, so he's had to adopt a lot of children. Hollywood Secrets.
Danny Bonaducci.
Cut!
That wine's kicking in drunk,
that's
Adam.
His actual name, God. Danny Bonaducci. No, wait, I actually said it right. Yeah.
You were trying to fuck it up.
I'm Bonaducci. Like the bad bully. Danny Bonaducci.
That's my name, man. It's not Bonaducci. I think that's what I said. All right, take it back. And action. So,
I thought you were gonna do one.
I didn't have.
You gotta
more
do a Hollywood secret.
All right.
Yeah.
Glenn Close has never won at Twister. on tomorrow's Hollywood Secrets.
Sam Smith is actually Tilda Swinton.
On tonight's Hollywood Secrets, Samuel L. Jackson is not black. On tomorrow's Hollywood Secrets,
Betty White's mom was killed by lipstick.
Oh, God.
Too dark?
I don't mind that. The Betty White also lied about her mom being killed with lipstick. Hollywood Secrets. This is the continued version.
Yeah.
To be continued was like a minute long.
Joseph Mazzello from Radio Flyer in Jurassic Park 1 is afraid of Dr. Seuss.
What if you were? It's just so fucking scared of Dr. Seuss.
Can I be honest? There are people that are.
Yeah, there are people that are scared of Dr. Seuss.
That sounded like the what Dr. Seuss
Have you ever heard
say.
The... Could we talk about Dr. Seuss for a minute?
I want to talk
what
about it for the rest of the podcast.
Well done.
What a nut job.
What a fucking loon. Have you heard the Grinch song?
It's yeah.
How's it go?
You're a mean one.
Yeah, it was Mr. on Grinch. In the car. Me and Rick were driving to the set one day, bragging.
And let's brag away. Undateable, season three.
October 9th, all live. If I say fuck you, air it. that's promo
tagline?
I pitched that.
That's pretty good.
By the way,
that would be on there too.
By the way, that burp sound effect is what Brad pitched for a guy opening a bag of peanuts at a baseball game.
And people are crying. It's like, this is the most beautiful work. Like, bad movies go, we got to go to Brad.
Yeah, Brad, yeah.
What's your movie? Well, it's about a dolphin. That's all I need.
You know,
about
Brad. Brad did all the ADR for Land Before Time 6, for Steel Magnolias 4. I didn't know they made a second one.
Listen, they actually did it. I just thought I'd jump ahead so far ahead in the story that you need a fourth. What? It's my vision of the film.
My goal is that we all get so drunk and not process it, and we do this for 4 hours, and then you just post it, and you go, the fuck, this is so big. And you're like, oh, my God, 4 hours.
4 hours of Hollywood Secrets.
And we're just like...
Can I be honest, Brent? People love when you come on this pod so much, they'd listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I was kissing them. I kissed
them. Yeah, dude. Hey.
You have fans.
Do whatever you want.
Then come to the shows, please, because it's starting to hurt.
Stop drawing me at home and show your support live in the flesh.
Here's the one thing I do hate, and ask me if you guys get this. You tweet all week. You Instagram all week. You Facebook all week when you're going to be in a city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the city.
You make a fun dub smash.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. What if I got so passionate about it? Yes.
Mike Flip.
That's
right.
A brilliant idea. I've never done that. I'm selling out like crazy. But you do
using
that stuff.
The where's the beef catchphrase to perfectly tie in your date.
Fucking, yeah. Perfect. Where's the beef in Portland? You know? But then you leave,
right?
And you'll say something like, thank you, Atlanta. And then somebody writes, how did I miss this?
When are you coming back?
I'm one of your biggest fans. What the fuck? Where were you?
Yeah.
I needed you.
Posting
I need all of you.
Posting all week.
It's
You're right,
fucking
though.
Depressing.
I don't know where the I don't know where the disconnect is for to see the concert or the people that will. And we want you to come to the show. So we're going to go out of our way to be overly accommodating.
I'm vining again.
Sure.
Fucking vining. I'll wear a goddamn wig if that's what you tweens want. You pieces of shit. Why don't I go do another goddamn bit I heard an open micer do? I'm sorry, I have a big problem with Vine. Yeah. I have a big problem with Vine, more big problem with Vine comments. When they're like, this is genius. No, it's not. That is very easy to do, and that's not funny.
It took me 4 seconds.
Yeah, fucking piece of shit.
Now you say you don't have any fans, but when I
have a few.
When I announced your comeback on, I had one I had one friend of mine that was very excited.
Thank God.
And she definitely wants to come see one of your shows.
What's her name?
Her name is Tiana.
Oh my God.
And here's the thing. Have you ever been sexually attracted to a little person? Not saying that because I'm sitting here, but
take Brad out of the equation.
So I'm not attracted to Brad.
It's yep.
Like, yeah. But try to fake that for a second.
Let me tell you something. If you got the right moves, I'm in.
Okay.
And if you dance with the devil, you can dance in the shadows. That's what I like to say.
All right.
Look, am I saying we're going to have a slow dance in the goddamn streets of Montreal talking about who we want to be when we're older? Sure. I don't know. When I saying that I'm going to have sex and not take any clothes off, somehow that works. Yeah. I like to leave my boots on, just unzip my fly and see what happens.
This has been Sam Elliott for Coors Light.
I wish that's where I want to get. I want to get to the age where that's my voice.
I know.
Where are you? Where are you? I know. This is why I know I'm not going to be in action movies, because, dude, did you see Mad Max?
Yeah.
No.
It's fantastic.
All right, talk to
Brad. It's fantastic, but I won't give anything away. the beginning, and you know this.
Yeah.
There's a voiceover of
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
What? Whose voice is that deep? He's right. Like, I've been on a journey. And it's like,
that's
whoa.
The only way to narrate any cool movie up top.
I was like, what the f-? Well, you'll hear it and you'll be like, they had to alter his voice. There's right. No way. Because you got to be like that. Why don't you come on?
It's like if Bane. That the voice he does is if Bane had like a second mask on and like it's that deep.
It's so interesting because his natural voice isn't that deep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at me hating on Tom Hardy.
No. But you know what? You're right, though. That voiceover is always so epic because there's that. Then there's the romantic comedy voiceover where it's like, hey, my name's Jeff.
That's where I am.
I just lost my job, you know? And then,
isn't that interesting? Yeah. That shit.
Yeah. Ugh. But you know what? But I love the epic. I love the epic voiceover that you're saying that Hardy does because it's always with some sort of, I don't know how Mad Max opens, but I'm sure it is pretty grand, right? I mean, as far as what's happening.
Yeah.
That matches the voiceover. But I want to hear that crazy voiceover of the, it was a long Saturday night. I woke up in the Del Taco parking lot. No shoes. No hat. Just tacos. Gavin was still there. Chris? Oh, sorry. It was Brett.
Somebody
was still, you know, but it's just
this summer, The Hangover Part 4.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Dude, but that's saying, funny. Let's do our best romantic comedy opening voiceovers, but do it in action voice.
Okay, I love it, and we'll dub over some music on this.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, who goes first?
So it's a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Wait,
and you're the main character.
You're the trailer. Wait, are you? Is this the trailer for it?
Should it be the trailer or should it be the opening?
It should be the voiceover. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
it's the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
beginning of the movie.
Yeah. So you're setting up the story.
Just when I thought I had my life all figured out, everything was going my way. Good job, good girlfriend, good family. In 48 hours, all these would be gone, but my life will never be better. This is my story.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I'm getting choked up, man.
Fucking riveting. Oh, God. Now, audience at home, picture butterflies and like a guy on a bench who looks like Joseph Gordon-Levitt and shit. Like that.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
exactly.
What are we watching?
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow, that was
great.
That was actually fantastic.
I want to see that movie.
it's called 48 Hours of Pinot.
I was going to be like, are you okay?
48 Hours of Pinot is not a bad title.
I was actually thinking, that sounds like an indie movie that like Olivia Wilde would do.
Yeah.
It's like
48 Hours of Pinot.
And it's like, Anna Kendrick is the best friend.
And the fucking trailer, 90% of it is just the four stars and the little bullshit, little
boxes.
Yeah, like, one this.
Yeah, doing every festival that it's been in. And then the only clip from the actual movie is like her staring in a mirror with like one like a ponytail on only one side of her head going, not today.
Yeah.
What? How did that win?
Yeah, and the boxes pop up on the DVD cover and it's Naomi Watts. Kate Beckinsale. Andre Agassi. And introducing Peter James Tyson Chandler Branson.
Yeah, there's always like some newcomer. You're like, who? And then like that year when that comes out, he has six other fucking movies.
Yeah, it's all
15.
Timed out.
Fuck you, Peter Jansen Brinkin Bronco. I totally forgot the name.
But see, they add more names to distract you from their talent.
You ever try to do
shots fired on everybody with more than two
names? I know
names.
Some people want to hear our voiceovers, but speaking of like trying to say names,
yeah.
Do you ever try to do this fun game Rick Glassman and I play where we try to do the, I mean, I don't know the names off the top of my head, but when in Good Will Hunting, when Matt Damon does like, I have 11 brothers and sisters,
Timmy
and
Tommy.
He names them?
Yeah.
Try doing it. Just try naming 11 names in a row really fast.
And I'm about to do that, but I just want to tell you how much I love that game.
Yeah.
Because I've tried to do that, not as a game, but in bits. Not all the time, because that's a risky move to try to think you can name that many, but where, not a stand-up joke, where like in a life banter moment where somebody said something and I go, blah, 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 you know, insert shitty joke, trying too hard to impress a girl, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, all right, well, I got to get home to my kids, you know, Dave, Kylie, wait, let me start over, because that's a boy and a girl. And I'm going to say, you got to get specific, right? Or how does the game work?
It's just like in the movie, he goes names. Like, I got 11 brothers and sisters. Oh. Name them. Timmy, Tommy, Terry, Torio, Taco, Fico. My brain shuts off. Okay, it always starts with Timmy, Tommy, Taylor. Like
But your pace So it has to
it has to be that fast.
Because the way I would do it would be like, I got to get home to like Siobhan, Ainsley, Kelly, Rebecca,
that
Susie.
Would be easier, but the way he does in the movie, because he's so smart, is he names, they're trying to prove because he's Damon making them all up,
right,
that he's fucking doing it on the...
And then she says, same again.
Yeah, and then he does it again in the same order. So it's just him being smart. But you got to do like Timmy, Tommy, Terry, Tarko. Tarko?
Tarko, Jesus. Dude, he plays for the Nets.
It's tougher than you think. Tarko, he does.
Tarko Milicic?
Nice. All right, let me try. What's the consonant you have to start with?
I'll be like,
you pick my consonant.
I'll
That's
say
what we're gonna
Timmy.
Do.
Start with Timmy Tommy. That's what he starts with, and see what happens. I always end up starting with T's because I feel like I can't change fast enough.
All right.
So you have 11 brothers and sisters.
Yeah. No.
Name them.
Okay. Jesus. Timmy, Tommy, Tyler, Teresa, Terrell, Torone, Tyrone, Tariri.
Tariri?
Oh, man. I got
Tariri sounds like a horrible name for a poodle. This is my dog, Tariri.
It's your turn now.
Oh, God, this is going to be awful. Yeah.
Okay, you got 11 brothers
and
sisters?
Once I said Terrell, I thought I was like home
I was like,
free.
Shit. I was like, God damn it, he's doing it. All right, go ahead.
Timmy, Tommy, Angie, Angela,
no, you
got to
go faster. You got to go faster.
Shit, Timmy, Tommy, Angie, Angela, Jennifer, Bennifer.
I said Bennifer.
Cheater. You can't do two names and then
combine
them right after.
That was two and one.
Yo,
it's tough, right?
Well, like that, like they always hang out with each other,
Listen,
so I
Timmy,
just call
Tommy,
it
Timmy, Tommy, Taylor, Tika. Tika? Dude, I can't get past three. I'm a fucking idiot. Timmy, Tommy, Taylor, Tyco.
Targo. You love Targo.
Okay, Timmy, Tommy, Taylor, Benny, Borco, Bacchia.
What?
Bacchia? Is that...
Yo, I guarantee...
Is that like a Jewish
try
dessert?
Try it at home.
Yeah. I made Bacchia.
We ended up printing
the
script
game, dude.
To look at the names.
Right.
And then it becomes a little easier because we kept going, he's a genius. But in reality, you're trying to make it up on the spot.
Right.
That's the game. If you want to play this game at home, it is a great drinking
game. Give it to me one more time.
Okay.
You want to do 11 names? Or, I mean, why would you say that?
Sounds like a weird game, but I'm game.
All right, okay. Yeah.
So I got 11 brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
I do. You want to hear the names of them?
Yeah, what are the names?
Timmy, Tommy, Tolly, Tally, Tooly, Dilly, Tooly, Tally.
Wait, let me try one
more time. Like pastas.
Oh, did you have the tally tonight at the Olive Garden?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, okay.
Went well at the Tooly.
It sounded like the beginning of a song. Timmy, Tommy, Tooly, Dilly, Tooly.
I know, I was trying to make a musical act.
Pretty
sure. Fucking chef from the Muppets.
Wow, where's his documentary? Where's his 30
know,
for 30? ESPN 30 for 30.
Oh, fuck, that'd be great.
That Muppet show is going to be great, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Yikes.
There's the
kidding,
door.
I'm actually,
there's
actually,
the door, Brent Moore.
I'm really into it, to be honest with you. And
right?
I love that I said that I was doing it as a joke, but
I know.
The reaction I got, I didn't get a laugh because everybody wants to watch it. And then I look up, and Adam has a framed poster of the Muppet Show in his place.
You goddamn right I do. And you know what? And you know what else? You goddamn right I do. Because I love the Muppets, man. It's no secret here.
Okay. Try it again. Here we go.
Here we go.
11 brothers and sisters? Name them.
Well, actually, I only got four. Timmy, Teresa, Tally, and Tommy.
Oh, God. Wait. You said that last one so slowly. You were
improvising in the audition because you're just like, I can't do 11.
Yeah,
you're like, actually, bitch, I got two. Bobby and Boom. Fuck, I still fucked it up. It's like, thank you for coming in. Let me do it again. Boom could be a name.
Yeah, Boom's a nickname.
How much?
He's a really good switch hitter.
This is a great question. How much improvising happened during that live episode of Undateable?
Oh, yeah, that is a good question. I can tell you.
First of all, it crushed.
We had a lot of moments. Here's what happened as comedians. As comedians, you'd go like this.
You're not nervous at all for it, yeah?
Because we're used to failing.
Yeah.
It's not nervous. Like, you're still nervous. You still get a little nervous. It's like going on stage. You get anxious, nervous. You're like, oh, okay, I want to get up there.
Yep.
And then once you're up there, you're fine.
Yep.
This was, to me, my favorite nerve because I felt like, I know it sounds stupid, but I felt like this is game day. Like, I was like, this is, like, in your peripheral, you see cameras and you're going, they're seeing it now, you know? And it was the most exhilarating experience I ever had because you're doing an hour of television. On top of the fact that I'm doing it with people like Minnie Driver, for fuck's sake. I did it with her.
Yeah.
The girl.
Yeah.
If people don't get this, she's the one who says name them in Good Will Hunting, so it's a good segue.
Yeah,
into
sure.
This bit.
Incredible.
If this was television, a producer would go, bravo, Adam. Point it. And I'm getting slapped and hit by all these people, and I got waxed and all this stuff, and Ed Sheeran. I got a good Ed story.
Yes, you got. Yeah, you kissed Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, he kissed me. Improvised it, by the way.
Really?
You don't want to talk about improvising. He improvised that.
Save that.
Yeah. I was like, and the funniest part is, because you have to keep going. Now I have to be in the chair. Chris walks up to me and goes, hey, man, Congratulations, you're famous now. Which I thought was so funny. But we improvised. We had moments. Like, we had moments in the script because we improvised. When we do the tapings, like, there's an element that I think an audience might miss for the live one that I want to assure them that you're going to have it still. Our showrunner, Bill Lawrence, and our boss, Adam Stekiel, and them, they really love us being funny. They like us playing. They like the idea of the happy balance between the writing and the... They create great stories, and then they let us go a lot to an extent that you've never seen it on the multi-cam network sitcom. I can't name one. After being in it, and I get it, it's like a 21-minute episode is what you get on a 30-minute show because you have 9 minutes of advertisement. I'd say the first cut of most of our shows is 50 minutes.
Wow.
And that's because we play so much.
No way that's how it was on these other shows.
No, it isn't. And you learn that from people that, like,
that have worked on
them,
right?
People that work on our show that have done it for 20, 30 years have said this is the most exhilarating experience I've ever had. It's most fun.
Even fellow cast members. I mean, Bianca's been on two other
sitcoms. Oh, yeah. Bianca talks about it constantly. But she's like, people leave multi-cam tapings because they can go for like 4 hours, you know? And they'll leave a taping and... You know, this is my first thing. So to me, this is what I thought it was.
This is the standard.
And we get a standing ovation with 400 people that haven't left in 4 hours.
Yeah.
And Bianca goes, this never happens. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, on rules, people would leave all the time.
Yeah.
And I went, really? And she goes, it's because our boss is so smart that he would be like, Bill Lawrence is like, he would say, oh, just so you know, we do a take of the script. And if we have it, maybe we'll give them an all. But then we usually let them go. So the audience is getting excited to see what we do. So like, I laugh on the show. I'm laughing because I didn't know Chris was going to do something so stupid. You know, and so when we did the live episode, my fear was is that we're going to lose that because it's so time sensitive.
Right.
Because
now you have,
Bill,
you have to do that in a lot of time.
Here's the thing that I think is so great and at the same time stupid and why people should watch. Everybody who's doing this has never done this before. And the egos of "I'll be fine" are unfucking believable. Like, Bill Lawrence is an alpha male. His writer's room, they have ab contests. You know what I mean? Like, what writer's room has that? Like,
Room at Old Spice commercials?
Yeah,
that's about it.
Like, they play basketball and they're cocky and they love sports and they're competitive.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, me, when I was doing the live episode, I felt like Steph Curry in the tunnel. Like, I was like, this is game day.
That's
I want to fucking bring it.
Yeah, man.
And they have that attitude. And Bill has already said to me, and this is what I want people to know who watch the show, who like that element, because it's become public now that we do improvise often. We're not going to lose that. You're just going to see it live. And you're going to see it in certain moments. It's like there's certain things that they've become accustomed to writing, with Chris and I in particular, where they'll just put in the script. Like in the live one, they put Chris and Brent do this, riff a couple more. And it's like... Huh. If you guys have any ideas, riff a couple more. So that will be improvised. We might, like, on the live one on the East Coast feed, the writers actually gave Chris something to say that I didn't know he was going to say. He said, well, you put on some weight since the beginning of the season. And I obviously didn't know how to respond to that. And I was almost laughed. And then I was like, well, thank you for telling me that. Like, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
what would you have done if you had correct?
I already did. You could tell that I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the fun of watching it, because you could be like...
Totally, man, and that's why, because, you know, as much as people knock, like, when Fallon did it or when it happens on SNL, people love that shit, because it doesn't happen a lot.
No.
And also, you're being so professional and good all the time, and they also... It makes, I think, the audience feel a little more like,
well, you
you're
get to
human,
be involved. You get to be, like, here's the thing. Multicam sitcoms in the 90s were amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you'd watch. Now it's gotten the rep of not being sexy. Honestly, I think, and I use the word sexy loosely because sexy, I mean, as an in, as in cool. And there's a reason. And there's a big reason. And there's a reason that I can notice in sitcoms today. And people always go, I hate the laugh track. I hate the laugh track.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch Cheers, you watch Seinfeld, you watch Friends, not everybody's doing a fucking punchline. It's a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's 3 minutes of kind of silence on Seinfeld until there's a moment, because you're watching people that you want to watch.
Yeah. Right.
Our show's ability right now, because we're in a system where people go, needs more jokes, and it's not doing well because the audience isn't laughing every fucking 2 seconds, which becomes the most annoying shit to watch when you watch other sitcoms. the benefit of this, I think, going live too, is you're taking a group of comedians, most of which have never worked before.
Yeah.
You're not only putting them on an NBC sitcom, but now you're telling them that they have to be live in front of an audience and improvise at moments and fuck around and try to do something that will work. At the same time, we're going to be incorporating social media so much into it. Like on the live episode, we were live tweeting in the show to people.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I noticed that, like, yeah. I saw Chris, like, on his phone during a scene. I'm like, wait, is he?
Bill was very, very adamant about, like, I want as much social media connection. So we were trending worldwide for that live episode because we would, Chris would take a picture or a video while it was taping and show the audience and then send it out on set. While we're doing the show. Yeah. Imagine watching Boy Meets World or a show you would watch as a fucking teenager.
Right. It's just an extra
and you're like, I
behind
can go
the scenes
see
look.
This?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to try. And the idea is that it's not just going to be a live show. It's going to be a live experience. And that's kind of what we're going at.
And it's great because then the people that get annoyed with the laugh track.
Yeah.
There's no laugh track anymore.
They'll know. Like, that was a big thing we pointed out when we did, like, I periscoped for a minute and showed the audience before we started the taping, and they were counting down and shit.
Do they ask you guys to do all this, by the way, or do they just assume that you're all doing it?
Well, they encourage it, but as comedians, I mean, we're on the top of the food chain of social media.
Yeah,
like, a lot of actors, and rightfully so, I mean, they're just not social media friendly.
Yeah.
Like, why would they be? We have to be.
It's
part of our business. So the luxury of that show, too, is that you have Ron, who's so prevalent on it, and you have fucking Chris, who made a career out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and you have all these people that are, we know what the hell we're doing. So when we have to have social media classes, which they do on networks to teach you shit, what they're teaching us is
tweet a picture of your dick.
Yeah, but they're also teaching you the wrong shit. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but some of them are like, and there was one moment, and not to take anything away from them, also saved my ass when I said that, but they know the basis of it, and like a network can help you out, but they don't know what. I remember Chris was sitting in there, and Chris is on his phone, and we're in the social media meeting, and he doesn't need to be in there. The guy's got over millions of followers on fucking
Vine. He should be
teaching
the class.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was actually a moment where they had like a fucking projector with like a flip thing and stuff. And they were like, now, Chris, this is something you might not want to tweet. And they were like, and he looks up like, huh? And they show a screenshot of his tweet, and he wrote something about like, fuck miners or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Some Chris
some
thing. Chris hates everything. So it's just a very
but also
fuck this.
People love that he hates everything.
Exactly. So they show that and he goes, now look what Mindy Kaling wrote. And they show a Mindy Kaling tweet. And all Chris goes, oh, could you go back to mine for a second? And they go, what? Did you just go back to mine for a second? They went back to his. And because it was a screenshot, you could see the favorites and the retweets.
Mm-hmm.
And he must have had like 10,000 more retweets and like something crazy amount of fucking favorites.
Wow. Right.
And then he goes, oh, that's what I thought. No, it's just that, I have like pretty much double the amount of retweets and favorites she has. But you're right. I should do what you're saying.
Oh, man,
that was the only thing he said in that meeting. And I was like, God damn it, Chris won.
Yeah, oh, man.
But he's right, though.
When you know, you know.
Yeah. He's right.
And man, so and this isn't just now a one-off like it was for the last season of Undateable. This is every week you guys are going to be
That's crazy.
This.
And
everybody on the cast said when we did the live one, I've never seen them more excited and more amped, and it was so eventful.
The energy must have been Oprah taping level.
It was amazing. And this is where I'll get into the Ed Sheeran story, because I know some people are wondering about this. So what happens is you ask
get
about
to Ed Sheeran making out.
So you ask about the improvising. Here's what happened. So Chris says that line to me. On the next one, Bill gives me a line for Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, it's all right, we're going to get you to get him now. And in my mind, I'm like, well, you could have done it on the fucking East Coast feed, because the East Coast one is mainly the audience,
right.
You know? But he gives
How
me...
How so?
I don't know why, but West
bigger,
Coast
bigger
doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter as much, you know? So we were like, I don't know why that's a thing.
Yeah.
I figure it's 50-50, but it's not. Sure.
By the way, trying to get your co-star, I doubt ever like Cosby was like, I'm going to try to get Rudy.
Well, he did, but that was in a completely different way.
All right, you know what, Brad? We're trying to keep this pod clean. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
New types of, like, that's just in the context still of like what's going on, though. He's not...
Well, it's like a locker room. That's
he
what
trusts
our,
you guys so
yeah,
much.
Yeah,
so,
and he was like, what do you think of this one? And he tells me this one. I go, yeah, that's funny. I'm going to do it. So I get giddy about it, because he throws out the, well, you've gained weight since the da-da-da.
Yeah, right.
And then I go, yeah? Well, you look like that really ugly guy from Whitney. And everybody lost it. And Chris, you could see, because Chris will bust balls, but he loves when you fuck with
him. Does he break a lot?
He breaks way less than I do, mm-hmm. but I could see it on his face.
But when
he does,
it's like he loses
it. Yeah. He'll lose it. Like, I can get him a lot. like, but not really.
Yeah.
You know, he, but he does shit. I'm laughing not at what he's doing. I'm laughing at how ridiculous it is in the situation of what we're doing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when he's doing weird bird shit or something, I go, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
And he'll go for 15 minutes. I'm like, this is not on the show anymore. Now this is just, this is this.
It's just you fucking with Brent.
Yeah. But we're just, I mean, honestly, I think we're even closer than we were, which is hard to believe. But I said that line and he goes, well, I've never seen that show. You know, or something shit. Like he, but he was so thrown. And then with Ed, what happened with Ed is Ed came in, and it's so funny because I was actually such a, I am such a fan of his music, and he walks in
because they were reaching out. By the way, can you hand me the wine real quick? They were reaching out to they were reaching out to a lot of people. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like when you know you're doing a live episode.
Well, here's the other thing: we might have some great. We had great guest stars because they were, it was a lot of Bill Lawrence and like Ed Sheeran is a very humble kid. Mm-hmm. You could say he's 24, but. He just, I mean, the guy is on tour like a motherfucker and he's working like crazy. But Bill knows him. I don't know how Bill knows him, but he knows him. And he agreed to do it. And they flew over and did it. And there were a lot of people that said no, apparently, that saw or heard about the hour. And now.
Is it true that I heard? Oh, go ahead. That now, oh, that saw it and now.
Now they're like, well, what do you think if I come on now? You know, and shit like that. Shit. So
well, because
there
they
might be
they
guest
to see
stars.
It work.
Yeah, they saw it work and they realized how fun it was. And like because Ed kissed me, it actually coincidentally ended up making a lot of goddamn news. So, but they kept saying gay kiss. It was weird. Anyway.
It's because people are idiots.
First off, if you know me at all, I have kissed multiple of my straight friends on television.
On television,
yeah. On television. And you know who Ed asked before he does it? Because he was he goes, you think he'd mind if I kissed him? And he asked Rick Glassman, who I've kissed on multiple programs. And Rick goes, are you kidding? It's his fucking wheelhouse. So then he kisses me, and he was like, whispering in my ear, like, I apologize, mate. I apologize. I just won't do it. I go, what are you talking about? It's fucking hilarious. And he was like, Jesus Christ, he was right. And I was like, I realized he was talking about Rick. He goes, but Rick looks up like, it's his wheelhouse. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't think you know Brent.
Yeah, that's like Jordan shooting from the baseline.
Yeah.
Dude, not only have I kissed so many guys on TV, like, I've somebody screenshotted, a fan took a split screen of me kissing Andrew Santino and fucking Ed. They go, I guess Brent likes gingers. I'm like, who can say as a straight man that you've kissed two goddamn gingers?
Yeah,
there you
man.
Go. But here's what happened. This is so Ed comes on and they were explaining to him, like Bill, it was me, Bill, it was a rehearsal because he literally flew in from a gig to do this. Flew in, it's about an hour before we start taping. He runs his song. Unbelievable. I start laughing. Bill's like, why are you laughing? I go, because I just realized how funny this bit is because you're such a good singer. So he goes, he's a little hesitant because he's like, well, what happens like if I fuck up and da-da-da? Mm-hmm. And Bill's like, I don't think you don't know how this show works. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, Brent will cover you. And he gives me a great, like, complimentary. He goes, whatever you do, Brent will cover and he'll make it funny. Trust me, it'll be fine. Well, let's run it right now. Just be comfortable. Do what you're going to do. And I looked at Ed, and this is what I said. And this is where it kind of, it didn't bite me in the ass, but I was like, he was getting loose on the second one. I said, Ed, listen, the script is there. I get the anxiety of having to memorize the lines. Whatever the fuck you say, you're not going to throw me. It's going to be fine. And I was like, what a cocky piece of shit I am.
Challenge accepted, Brent Morin.
So then we do the rehearsal, and he's saying shit.
Yeah.
And I get the adrenaline and fear. Sometimes you're better. So I was just on, and I'm crushing. You know, in rehearsal, I'm crushing. And he's laughing his ass off. So now
when you say you're crushing because you're getting just strong laughs from the crew.
And him and everybody.
Because like, your crew is very involved in watching. Yeah. That helps, right? To have an audience even
everybody's
warming up.
Everybody's there. And there were a lot of Ed Sheeran fans and shit. In fact, a lot of them, like little teenage girls somehow got in. I guess they're friends with producers or whatever. And they're wearing Undateable Live or Undateable Forever or something like that.
Jesus.
Didn't know who the fuck I was. Literally pushing me out of the way and crying he's rehearsing.
Yet they had drawings of you.
Yeah. Yes, they had fucking... Yeah, yeah. They're sitting there just on these t-shirts and like, move, move. And they're crying, watching him rehearse for like 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
Crying in the middle of the unlit bar while he's just playing acoustically for 2 minutes. I don't know how you deal with that. So then he does it. I start fucking with him. And then after that, I was like, hey, dude, for real though, like, it's going to be fine. Whatever you do, it's fine. He goes, so just don't make me laugh. Please don't make me laugh. And I was like,
man,
if you laugh, don't worry. It doesn't matter. I go, whatever you want, just fucking say it. I'll cover you and I'll get us out.
We already changed the title from Undateable to the Ed Sheeran Show.
Yeah, like, I was like,
this
was
is your
like,
time.
This is. And I was like, I got you. Don't worry. I'll cover you.
Cool.
So on the first one, he ad libbed. I got him. It's good. So I decided I wasn't going to drink for like a week, week and a half, which is very hard for me to do.
Yep.
I said, you know what? I'm going to treat myself because it's Cinco de Mayo. It's a live episode. And it was we taped the finale already and then took a month off and came back and did the live one. Mm-hmm. So this was technically could have been the last time I ever do this for Undateable.
Yeah, because
I said, this will be my goddamn party.
Right.
So I said, I'm going to have a drink once we finish this thing. Now, I got waxed and slapped by every fucking person in the show. So I decide in my own alcoholic brain that, you know what? I earned a shot. So I decide to have a shot after the first taping. Mm-hmm. So I take one shot. That's it. Tequila, simple. Got it. Good. We got through it. That was the important one. We made it. Minimal fuck-ups. Good stuff. Then I go to hair and makeup, and the hair lady is like, Brent, you reek of tequila. And I said, calm down, Lorna. I had one shot. We're good. It's almost as if he appears. I didn't know Ed was there. He was getting hair and makeup done. It's like two like hair and makeup people like separate. Yeah. And he goes, oh, mate, you drinking, huh? Oh, if you want to have the good stuff, Bill left me the good bottle in my room. And I'm like, huh? He's like, let's do a couple shots. And I go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What
am I going to not take shots with a rock star?
Yeah. So then he leaves and everybody who I've worked with they're all smirking and looking at me. Mm. And there's a pause and I go, what, like I'm not going to do fucking shots on that shit?
Yeah. Which is a sentence you never thought you'd ever say. But
so I go to his room. Sure. I go to his room, I knock, and there's like three dudes in there that all look like fucking extras from Snatch. They all look like kind of bigger fucking dudes. And I walk in.
Boys.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, it was intimidating as shit because the lights aren't really on either. It's like one light on by the tequila. It's almost like a fucking, like it was planned.
Yeah.
And he goes, come on, let's take a shot. And it's the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
So we take one shot and I go, fuck it, cheers to the show. Great job. He's like, you too, mate. And we take a shot. And he's looking at me after I finish the shot. I'm like, that's. And he goes, that's all you're going to do, huh? He's like, I'm already five in. And I'm like, No, I'll do another.
Oh, God.
So I have another one.
Peer pressure
Sheeran. You're about to go on live television.
About to go on live television. So I'm about 3-4 shots in.
Yeah, dude.
For the fucking West Coast one.
Did you tweet that?
No, I walk out and I'm like, I'm seeing like my bosses and stuff. And yeah. I was like, I was just in Ed's room. I go, don't fucking ask. I'm not going to say no to a rock star. So I just
And they're laughing. Walk out with your dick.
Yeah,
out.
They're laughing their asses off. They're having a fucking blast.
Yeah, dude.
So we get to that
if this
first
was the pilot
scene,
episode. They'd be like, hey, let's go ahead and see what. Danny Bonaccucci's up to. Nice callback, Adam. It is your podcast. We'll be right back.
Callback.
Thank you, buddy.
So then we do the first scene again, which is like it's just me and him.
Yeah.
And he's just having a good time now because he's loose, you know.
Right.
So he start going off the rails a little bit, and I'm literally going no, because I'm like, we got to cut it short a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's being funny, and then he calls back shit from the fucking East Coast one because he's supposed to say something about sleeping with a girl I like, but then he goes like
callbacks from another coast, right?
Yeah. And he fucking goes, he's a little chubbier than he was on the first season or the beginning of the season, right? So I just lose it. So fucking Ed, this piece of shit great man, who is selling at the Hollywood Bowl, which I went to, by the way, fucking kill. I'm breaking already on the first one. And if you watch that scene, I'm supposed to be like, that was Ed Sheeran. I'm like, that was him? But I'm literally like, that was him? Like, I'm losing it.
Yeah.
So then we get to the end of it, because then he's got to be drinking more.
Yeah.
I would. Why the fuck would I not?
Yes.
All he's got to do is smack me and hug me, and that's it.
Sure. And then play.
Hell, I'm four shots in, and I'm the star of the goddamn show. So I'm like, and it's live.
Yeah.
So by the time I get there, I'm a little buzzed, and everybody's like, you fucking smell like tequila. I go, I was with Ed. We had a moment. And I told Bill, I go, me and Ed are going to be buddies. I go, Ed's got that thing that I have, that Irish. You know, like he could booze and have a time.
There,
you know?
It really is a true thing as far as like the Irish camaraderie and the boozing.
I just knew. I was like, we're gonna be boozing, because even as he goes, you're gonna stay for the party after. I go, you fucking kidding? Of
you're
course
like, I was
I
about
am.
To ask you that.
I was,
I'm throwing
I
the
was
party
your, I figured you wouldn't be for the party.
Yeah.
I've been working for this party for a week and a half.
I've been working That's a, for this party.
This is literally for the party.
Yeah,
everything
man.
Getting
yes.
waxed. So then we get to the end and he kisses me and it ends, and then Chris says that fucking line, and then once we wrapped, he kept being like, oh, I'm sorry, I kissed you. I go, dude, I don't give a fuck. It's fine. So we started boozing. The party starts. Our boss loves tequila. He likes Don Julio 1942. He got two bottles,
love that.
Right?
Yeah.
He gave one to Ed.
Classic.
For Ed and his friends. Ed had some of his friends. Mm-hmm. And then he's with me, and we're having like a moment, because we don't know if we're going to work together again. And this guy gave me a career, so we're having a good time. And I'm talking to the crew, and it's just it was like a fan. It's a family on that
dude.
Set. So I'm sitting there, and it's great. And I was like, we did it. What a fucking great night. And then Ed's like, here, hold this bottle. I have to go talk to some people. I go, in my head, I'm like, that's the dumbest thing you could do. I was like, I'm the only guy on the show that drinks. I was like, why would you give me the bottle? You know, why would you give me the bottle?
Give it
to Ron. So then I go up to Ed, we start fucking drinking. I start handing out, like I'm Robin Hood, I start handing Don Julio 1942 to cast, crew, you know, year-round stand-ins and extras. I'm like, here you go, this is Bill Lawrence and stuff, this is the good stuff. Then me and Ed are just drinking from the bottle. I'm getting hammered. Bill comes back, this bottle, which is like a super tall bottle. Don't know why I'm doing a hand gesture. I'm definitely on a podcast.
No, but it helps for me. But I know what you're saying, because they're all the smaller ones.
Yeah, it's like this fucking, it's like when, remember when you were in like high school and you didn't know, you were confused sexually and you had those weird sand things that had like multiple colors? Remember those things?
Yeah,
you're like, oh my God, I'm an artist. I made it myself. You know? Like it was one of those bottles.
Made a really freaky dildo is what you made.
Yeah. Yeah. Just some like, that's a, you know, you're going to figure out who you are soon. So it's like, so I'm drinking, he's drinking, we're pouring that shit in, we're boozing like fucking, I mean, by the time Bill came back, me and Ed are shit-faced.
Yeah.
I'm hammered out of my goddamn mind. Hammered. Can't be more hammered. His bottle's pretty much gone. He goes, give me the bottle. He goes, God damn it, Brent. And I said, Bill, what did you expect? I'm like, hammered. I go, you gave it to the only guy who drinks on the fucking show. So what ensues is, because it's all free, we start boozing more. There's a blooper reel thing that they show at the end of every season, which is nice. So I go up, I watch that. I come back down. I start dancing. We have a dance circle.
It's all on the set, by the way.
All on the set. Because we just turn, usually after tape nights, we turn my bar and the show into an actual bar and we just booze and hang.
God, that's the coolest, man.
Gordy, the props guy, gets like, usually when it's a regular tape night, gets the good booze and he'll have like Cuban cigars and we have like a fucking time.
Now, are there old producers or like key group guys that when you do that, they tell you old stories like, it's funny that we're drinking in your bar, because when I worked on Cheers, me and Woody Harrelson would do shots of Patron outside of the fucking...
Well, dude, the thing on Warner Brothers too, because there's
Shelley
a lot of
Long
same
did body shots off her nipples. It was crazy.
Shelley Long's got a real stinky pussy.
You know, I gotta tell you, Shelley Long is a guy. What? How do you know that?
Hollywood Secrets. That's how I know.
Hollywood Secrets. Would you ever watch that show? It's the shortest, greatest show on television. Dude, so I get shit faced. I wake up the next day. I blacked out.
Of course.
I blacked out.
Yeah.
I have a picture from my executive producer of Ed Sheeran. You can go on my Instagram and see this if you want to. Of Ed Sheeran literally dragging me on the ground on a dance floor. And I have a video that I haven't posted because it's for me, where we have like a dance battle and he's like takes like one button off. So I guess my heightening move is to take my shirt off. Now, here's the fucking problem. When I was a PA at Conan, you go to a work party and you're the PA. Who cares?
Right.
It's a PA, right? Now I'm in a position where it's like, if Conan did that at a Conan party, lawsuits start coming. You
it's
know
on TMZ the next day. There's people saying, well, he blinded me and then I tripped over a camera.
He hit on me and then also ate like a chicken waffle sandwich. You know, like some weird shit. There were chicken waffle sandwiches there. They were so good.
Oh, my God.
But I got blackout hammered and I woke up. I woke up to a text message from Ed Sheeran that just said,
this is the beginning of your romantic comedy, by the way.
Yeah, and I guess it was from last night, but I hadn't seen it because I was blackout, and I just said, cunt. And I wrote back, and I was like, hey, fucky. And I was like...
Welcome back to Fucky and the Cunt, from the makers of Ren and Stimpy.
So I send that picture, I go, look at this fucking picture. And then he goes, Jesus, I don't remember that. And I go, at least you're not the one being dragged.
Oh, my God.
I have to see all these people. Like, I'm the one being fucking dragged through the mud. But then, long story short, which is a long story that I just told, and now I'm going to say short. I ended up, like, he was in town for, like, we had text back and forth sometimes, you know.
But yeah, because there's definitely, a delicate amount of time after all that happens to where now you're like, do we just chalk that up to like, man, that was a cool experience?
Yeah,
you don't know.
Are we friends? I don't know.
Are we like, because you now only have that with him.
Right.
So I'm sitting there and I drive by the Hollywood Bowl. I was with this girl that I'm seeing. And I was like, I saw Ed Sheeran's name. And I've been on tour. He's been on tour. That was the funniest conversation. We would text back and forth too, because I was like, you got to come to the Comedy Store. You got to hang out. And he's like, I would love to. He goes, I'll be back in January.
Which is great to have. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
How great is that to have? Like when I, when I first got to Boston and was doing the Heat,
I could have sworn he was going to bring up an According to Jim reference, but okay.
I almost brought up two According to Jim references, but I don't. If you're playing at home, by the way, I just did drink five. Once you start getting some of those people and having stand up, and we can all attest to this.
Yeah.
How many times have you been in where you go, come to a show?
Come to a show.
I mean, for business purposes, obviously it's incredible.
Yeah.
But like, just as like an extra level of like, it's fun. Like,
well, you know what it is? You know what it is? And this is, it's funny because I saw an interview with Ed prior to him being on the show, and it made perfect sense. he was heavily influenced by Eminem, and he was in the same room as Eminem, and he said to his, they were like, "Do you want to meet Eminem?" And he said, "Is there any chance that he would know who I am?" Mm-hmm. And they said, "Unless you're an underground rapper from Detroit, no." He said, "Then I'll wait." And the reason why he said is because there's one thing to go up and be somebody and go like, "I like what you do."
Right.
But not know the other person does something.
Right.
It's just about when they see, when somebody sees you do what you do well and you see what they do, there's a respect.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And so then you could have a real conversation as opposed to like now, a fucking...
Right, before you're just a fanboy.
Yeah, before it's just like, you know, like I think like with Ed, if I wasn't that funny... He just respected what I did. I respect what he does.
Sure.
So when we like have had conversations, because we've had drunken talks where it's just like heart to heart.
Yep.
I'm not looking at a guy who just sold out the Hollywood Bowl. I'm looking at a person.
Yep.
And I think that's what you're getting at.
Yep.
It's like when you can be like, come see what I do. You know, like I love what you do. But come see what I fucking do for a minute. Because then that drink after that's going to be a real drink.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer. It's a mutual thing now.
Right.
Dude, it's like when the Jetsons met the Flintstones. Because Fred, shut up. This is a great point. Fred goes, "I can't drive a spaceship." And George goes, "I can't drive a car with my feet." Yo, game recognizes game.
That's actually a good call. I thought you were going to bet. Now it's kind of, that's good.
I don't know if you can see this, but I have a single tear rolling down my cheek.
I know you do.
It's a goddamn diamond.
It's powerful.
You're a fucking diamond. That's what you are.
That's an incredible story, and just another example of how, you know what, man? Cool.
All right. Wine's kicking in.
Oh, there you go.
To take a deep breath and then go, you know what?
You
change topic, you get heart to heart.
But also,
here's what's great about Brad Williams.
I love you.
We got tweeted because we didn't. We did
my birthday. I turned 33 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right?
And Adam got shit faced.
We did
on the podcast.
We did a podcast episode, a bonus episode.
It was after the fucking. Was that the episode after goddamn Comedy Jam?
Roast battle, though.
The next night it was.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Because there was something, because we were hammered at the goddamn comedy jam. You were there.
Yeah.
And then I saw a tweet that you said something about, like, decide to do an impromptu drunk.
That was the next night. Right.
So the next night.
But by the way, Brad and I had to pitch our show twice the next morning after that night at the goddamn comedy jam.
Oh, boy.
And then
I missed so many things the next day after that fucking show.
By the way, that night with Brent and I remember leaving and I was like, oh, I know that I'm drunk and I know that Brent's drunk because as we were both leaving, we did this three different times where we tried to leave the conversation, but it was that thing that Kristen Wiig and Fred Armisen used to do on Weekend Update where they would improvise, would improvise a song, remember?
Yeah.
You know? But they both didn't know what was going to happen. So Brent and I leave and I go, and we would do it at the same time, but we were like, and the last thing we said, you said something like,
you texted to me.
Happy people signs or something.
Yeah, happy people signs, I think. You texted me. I didn't remember that at all.
Oh, Jesus.
I fucking got wasted. And I was with my little brother who just moved out here as a doctor at Cedars-Sinai.
Incredible.
And he just looks at me. He gives me this judgmental look all the time. Like, you need to get it together. He's gay, by the way. When I say like gay, he's like fun gay.
The second one.
Yeah, he's the second. He's the fun one. Yeah.
He's the best. And that's huge that he's a doctor.
He's a superhero.
Cedars-Sinai saved my life on countless occasions. Yep. And now he's going to be part of the staff.
He's finished top 5% in the United States in med testing. Like, he's unbelievable.
But does...
beat out people from Harvard for that fucking job. Wow. He actually lives right by the Laugh Factory. I might meet up with him after this.
This is the best.
But he's like, I even got him wasted. I'm very good at getting people wasted around me.
Well, because you're a good time. Here's the thing, though. Yeah. Even though that night at the jam, you don't remember it, but I remember it. I remember it as a good time. And that's all that matters.
I remember most of it, but that last, like, hour and a half, I don't. I just remember, like... This girl that I'm seeing right now, I just remember like getting drunk and having a heart to heart.
What? Now you say you're seeing someone right now.
Yeah. This is how we get it close because I got the spot of the store in 10 minutes.
But like
you really are doing a 9.
Yeah.
You got the 9?
Yeah.
I got the 11.
I'll see you over there. Oh, do you just want to come straight with me or no?
He said that a few times.
We're gonna have to leave in like 5 minutes.
Okay. But anyway. I've got my friend Tiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dwarf girl. Yeah. And she just wants to know if you would hit that.
Brent's looking at the picture. He's getting a strong look. He's leaning in. I think he's considering it.
I like brunettes. She's got some 80s hair there, but I'm not against it.
Take a closer look.
Is that a real baseball?
Brent's looking at the picture of the dwarf.
Sports.
She loves sports.
Yeah, she's cute.
I want a genuine, for real. Like, we want you to consider, like...
would I have sex with her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I wasn't seeing someone? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Okay.
this gives
dwarf,
a shit? I'm
this,
in.
This, not only is she a dwarf.
Can we talk about how Brad always has hot girlfriends?
Well, can we also talk about how Brad also has pictures of himself dressed as a woman on his phone?
Yep.
Is that you?
That's me.
Wait, is it? That's not you?
That's me.
I guess I'd fuck you. That's when you know the Chardonnay kicked in. For people at home, if he posts his picture...
I will. It's on my Instagram.
Oh, fucking Christ. I beg you. Why are you dressed like a woman? Why are we getting... What are you doing?
That was a sketch. That was from the sketch from Mind of Mencia like 7 years ago. I'm playing a chola.
The all-time record holder for most appearances on the
That
About
was
Last
7 years
podcast.
Ago. What a way to get out of here. I guess I'd fuck Brad is what we gather from this.
Well,
and also, neither one of us did our voiceover romantic comedies.
Well,
save it
Brent,
for the sixth appearance.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
And I'm going to have one more drink, then you and I are going to go have some fun, apparently.
Yeah. Put on that goddamn wig and that shirt and hold that baseball, and I'll fuck you. I'll be the power bottle.
Oh, my God.
So, that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.